In the name of Jesus, amen. Gosh, Advent has just screamed by. And yet it's kind of fun. It's fun to hear the kids say, can't wait for Christmas. It's still 2 days away. I'm thinking, wow, it's going to come and go pretty fast. But even before Christmas, even before we get to the gifts, there are gifts that we can open up and share with one another anytime, any place, anytime we want to. And that's what we've been thinking about as we go through the season of Advent, thinking about the gifts that we can give. We started Advent with thinking about giving the gift of prayer. I'm praying for you. Please pray for me. Help me with this. Lord, help me with that. Help them with this. Help them with that. I mean, it's so nice to hear someone say, I'm praying for you. It's such a wonderful gift. And you know, Paul's not afraid to say, not only am I praying for you, but this is what I'm praying for you. You know, I mean, we've heard Paul say to the Thessalonians, to the Philippians, I'm praying for you. And then he says that you grow in love for one another, that you grow in knowledge, that you can understand the will of God. I mean, it's so cool to hear how Paul actually prays for people. And, you know, why not do the same thing? Tell people what you're praying for them about. I mean, I know it sounds kind of bold, but why not give the gift of prayer? Not only did we hear how Paul was praying for the Philippians and the Thessalonians, but he was even blessing them. And so not only can we give the gift of prayer to one another, but we can bless each other in the name of Jesus. I mean, we just studied in between services how speaking the name of Jesus over someone gave them health. I mean, we forget what powerful, powerful impact God's word has when we simply share God's truth with the people around us, including the gift of prayer. Advent 2, we thought about the gift of acceptance and how wonderful it is that God has taken us, the sinful messes we are, and he has embraced us in his love and forgiveness. He has welcomed us into his family. And though we want to run away at times, we know that the light is always on and the door is open and he'll always take us back. And how we give the gift of acceptance to each other as we go through the challenges of dealing with the issues of life. I mean, in a way, just accepting each other, forgiving each other, working with each other. You know, our traditional language for that is in ministry with each other, husbands and wives working through things, getting a little crabby with each other, still accepting and welcoming each other, forgiving each other. That's a tremendous gift, the gift of acceptance. You know, our goal with Journey to Christmas was, can we minister to each other and not just be crabby and work our way through it? Let's actually enjoy each other and go through the process. To be sure, moving from one house to another house this last week, there were a lot of opportunities to give the gift of acceptance because things got pretty thick with regard to Dad being the drill sergeant, barking out all the orders, being nothing but business, and then having to say, sorry, forgive me. It's nice to be accepted. It's nice to be welcomed back. It's nice to be forgiven. The gift of acceptance. I know it was a little strange for some people, but I hope it makes better sense now, but last Sunday, Advent 16, it was about giving the gift of anxiety. I mean, if we're anxious about things, why not tell the truth? Pray for me, I'm anxious. Pray for me. I'm anxious about the upcoming job interview or surgery or moving. Or I'm anxious about driving down 75. I mean, there's all kinds of things that give us anxiety. You know, it's kind of the flip side of Advent 1, the gift of prayer, asking people to pray for us because we're anxious. And you know, where I'm anxious, oftentimes you're not. I'm anxious. Help me figure this out. And maybe where you're anxious, I'm not anxious, so I can help work you through things. Sometimes we're all anxious together. And that's where we turn to the Lord and say, Lord, we're a mess. We're anxious. Whenever I hear people share honestly with me about how they're anxious for things, it's pretty quick that we try to go to prayer or we talk about it a little bit. It's okay. You know, it takes faith to say I'm anxious. You know, when I first was becoming a pastor, I literally shook just reading things to people. You know, I still have anxiety. But I learned to hold it hostage to Jesus. And sometimes I don't do a very good job of it. And then I know I'm forgiven. But you know, these are gifts to share. And the one for today seems a little strange in some ways because it's so forthright. But you know, today it's about giving the gift of Jesus. And I know we call that mission. But I really want you today to think about just how amazing giving the gift of Jesus is to people. And today, it's all tied into what we heard in the Sermon to the Hebrews. And in the Sermon to the Hebrews, chapter 10, we're seeing this very tight exchange. It's almost like a conversation. We have the narrator, and then we're hearing scripture, and and then we're seeing how it's carried out in Christ. And I'm just going to read the whole thing again. And what's fascinating is when God set up the Old Testament church, he gave it a ceremonial system. He took one of the tribes, the Levites, and made them the priests of the temple. And so they were in charge of the temple process, the machinery, the spiritual machinery of sacrifice. They would also be scattered across the Judean countryside in various places, so they would be the resident priest in communities, not to be identified the same as the rabbis, which came out of the lay movement, non-Levitical movement. And so we're seeing here in Hebrews chapter 10 how this whole ceremonial system was meant for a purpose, but it would be fulfilled in what Christ does. And this is why giving the gift of Jesus is such an amazing thing. So it started this way. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me." All the other sacrifices and offerings involved other things. For the Messiah, it would be a body, flesh and blood. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. I have come to do your will, O God." And then there's this commentary. When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." What's fascinating about the Old Testament ceremonial law was it was intended to show people how God needs to be satisfied. God demands satisfaction. The challenge with the ceremonial system is it was just a continual reminder of how we fall short, how we sin and trespass and do wicked things. So it's in that we learn. I mean, I've studied the ceremonial code with people and just hear people that have read it themselves or heard it online on their iPhone, they say, "Gosh, who can keep track of all these things? I mean, this is so complicated. I mean, just just reading the instructions makes me realize how little I understand how God's will is to be carried out by us. And of course, when I have a chance, I say, yeah, thank you, me too. I feel the same way. But therein is the issue. It's about the will of God and Christ coming to do the will of God. But for us to understand that, let's think about our own wills for a little while. And let's start with, like, infancy. Now, no parent does this, but I've thought about it. You know, when you have a little infant and you have some diapers and some wipes, you don't take them over to the infant and say, okay, this is what I want you to do. Take care of it. I'll be back, right? I mean, you don't do that because you know that they can't. I mean, you know, they have no will. I mean, they'll cry. They're hungry, right? They're dirty. They'll exercise that. They'll just cry. But as far as, you know, this is what I'd really, I know we need to do this. Will you do this for yourself? You know, it just doesn't work that way. When a child is born, really, the parents shape that child with their will. In fact, they almost become a single thing. When a child is born, a parent's control is like this high. I mean, a parent is always putting his or her will into their kids, right? But what's interesting, though influence, you know, change yourself, though influence is like zero, you can't influence them hardly in any way. You know, sometimes you say, well, fed, changed, let her cry. Don't know what else to do, right? But as that child grows, you slowly lose control. You lose your will on them. But hopefully, and then by the time they get to be about teenagers, you're losing a lot of will on them, control on them. If you're not, you're a control freak, and you're going to really make them strong in their will. And what you have the opportunity to increase in is influence, right? And then, after a while, the only thing you have is influence on them because they have a will of their own, which is what they're supposed to do. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. And you can say, in a lot of ways, across the disciplines of your life, you're learning how to exercise your will, learning how to drive. I mean, I've tried to learn how to play golf quite a while ago, and now they just have a bunch of golf clubs. Well, they're not in the attic. Well, no, they're in the new attic. Van said to me, why do you even keep these, Dad? I'll give them to Uncle Jerry, I guess. Yeah, there are places in your life and my life where even if we have the will, we can't exercise the will because our body doesn't want to work along with it, right? It just doesn't work. Some of you are so good at willing yourself in certain ways that you've been able to land a job. And you're actually able to do things. Exercising your will in strategic ways that carries out various things so that you can earn a paycheck. Okay, let me give you this scenario. The garbage needs to be taken out. Will you please do this? The answer, I will. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. A couple of hours later, hey, the garbage hasn't been taken out. I mean, I don't know how many ways I say I will, and I don't know how many ways, as much as I will, I don't. How about you? And then there are those characteristics in every one of us in one way or another where we have a very strong will. Right? But we really notice it in others more than ourselves. Right? What about God's will? The Ten Commandments are the indisputable will of God. God actually wills for us to do things. He wants us to live in His blessings and His love. And He says, here's what you do. And we say to ourselves, I will. The challenge is that it's not always easy. In the Old Testament, oftentimes we hear God complain about His family are a bunch of stiff-necked people, which means they have a will of their own and it's not in line with God's. Right? I mean, it's fascinating. When God set up the ceremonial system that we heard about here, I mean, it's fascinating. God sets it up. He lays it out. And He says, this is what I want you to do when you put fire on the altar. And so, right when they get the whole ceremonial ball rolling, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, think to themselves, okay, this is what God wants us to do. But no, this is what we want to do. This is God's will. This is our will. Let's go with our will. Okay. So they went with their own will and they put fire on the altar and God killed them. Because He said they offered up strange fire. It was not according to God's will. That was a long time ago. But how many ways, brothers and sisters in Christ, have you and I lived in such a way where we take our wills and we look at God's will and we say, my will be done, and we offer up strange fire in thought, word, and deed? How many ways? How many ways? But this is where what we just heard earlier is such good news. Because there was one who would. And He would do it for you. And He would do it for me. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. There is one who says, thy will be done. I'll do it. I will. No TikTok about it. I mean, this is such good news. I mean, and then it goes on. Behold, I have come to do your will. Verse 10. And by that will, we have been sanctified. Let me say it a different way. And by that will, we have been made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He did it once for all. But think about it. For our sinful conception, His was sinless. For our troublesome twos, well, you know, He still needed care from His mom and dad. You know, they changed Him. They fed Him. But all the way through His life, through the teenage years, He was carrying out the will of God. In our Lutheran theology, in our Christology, we call it His active and passive obedience. He would be actively and passively obedient to God's will and ways without any kind of deviation. He would carry out the will of God in thought, in word, and action. He would do it for you and for me, going all the way to the cross. Ah, but the cross, right? Remember in the garden where Luke records the account, Jesus praying in Gethsemane, and His sweat became like drops of blood. He's feeling the weight of God's wrath upon the sin of the human race. The only one who didn't deserve, the only one who carried out completely the will of God. And He's sensing the impact. And He says, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. But how does it end? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he did. And by that one sacrifice on the cross, by that will carried out completely for you and for me, we are now holy. And when you're struggling with your identity and you see you're a mess, look to the Lord. He's the one who makes you holy. When you're seeing others who are struggling with their identity, struggling with how they're just seeming to just miss the mark and not doing a very good job, share with them the message of Jesus. That's okay. You're holy in Christ. I mean, there's just so many stories in your life and my life where we really try. Our will is we're going to do this. We want to do the right things. And then it's like we put the wrong step forward and we're flat on our face. Don't settle for ugh. Say, well, Lord, thanks for making me holy. Your will be done through me too. I mean, that's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we can say we're part of that earth, that we're asking your will to be carried out, and we want to work and follow and live as God wills us. The good news is that how God has willed us to be holy is in Christ. And on that, we can move forward, no matter how we feel like we've messed up again in exercising our wills. And you know, this is called the beautiful exchange by some. I get it. I like that. But I have always thought it's unfair. I mean, it's such an unfair exchange. Jesus takes upon himself all of our sin and wickedness and transgression. And then he gives us his perfect righteousness. I mean, that's why pastors wear robes. This is a symbol of the righteousness you wear by faith in Christ. I mean, it's just amazing. He's willing to do that, this exchange. You know, I just was so thankful to hear the garbage truck going up and down the alley on Friday, because I couldn't wait for garbage day. And it was so cool to hear the garbage truck. I thought, yeah, they're dumping the bins. And, you know, so I was preaching to myself, because I've done this before in sermons over the years. But, you know, I'm glad Jesus doesn't wait until Friday to get rid of my garbage. I'm glad that he'll show up and take care of business all the time. I mean, it was so cool to have those garbage cans. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I'm sure glad you don't wait. You know, I'm preaching to myself, you know, thinking about how wonderful it is for all the ways I fall short with my family to just know that Jesus can take that all away whenever. And I don't have to wait until Friday. Now I'm almost to the point where I can't wait for Friday for the garbage truck again. You know how it is when you move. And it's just amazing that Jesus can take care of it. All the ways that you and I pollute our lives, Jesus comes with his holiness and says, here, I'll take it. It really is a beautiful exchange. But in some ways you think to yourself, why would the Lord want all my garbage? Why would he want to take it all away? Because he knows I can't handle it. And he doesn't want me to handle it. It's amazing how sometimes we want to hold on to some of that stuff, though. Just give it away to the Lord. And live in his holiness. Live in what he's done for you. In the will that he's carried out. I mean, that's what's so beautiful about thinking about his will. What's fascinating also is that through the Holy Spirit, we learn to align our wills with the Lord. Yeah, until we die, we're going to see the conflict. And yet, even though we live, we can understand what God would have us do and what God would have us be. Our identity is in Christ, and he wants us to walk with him. And he wants us to share the message of his son. Simply telling people that Jesus died for them is more powerful than you think. You're actually downloading everything with that, the completed will of God. I mean, how many of you have stuff in your garage, projects that you still haven't finished, even though you willed them for quite a while? How many of you have ideas? I want to do this, I want to do that. I mean, does anything in your life, in my life, ever really get done as much as we will it? I mean, we get these places, but now I'm to the point where I've written so much in my life, I call them all drafts. It's like it's never done. But when you share what Christ has done, you are sharing with people the completed will of God by telling them that God loves them, by telling them that God loves them, and that Jesus died on the cross once for all to give them that love. Boy, the gift of prayer, the gift of acceptance, the gift of anxiety, the gift of Jesus. Open them up today. Share them with the people around you. I know there's two more days to Christmas, but these are gifts to share. Anytime, any place, really with anyone. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.